Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our heart be always acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. The sermon for today, the first Sunday after Trinity, is entitled The Adequacy of the Christian Faith and is written by the Reverend Canon Wallace C. Shields. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. This is a text which reassures us of the adequacy of the revelation of God according to the Bible. It was Abraham's response to the request of the rich man, usually called Dives. Dives in Latin means rich man, because the man is actually not named, who was in torments. He asked that Lazarus be sent back from the dead to warn his five brothers, lest they come into this place of torment. Abraham replied that this wasn't necessary, for they already had all they needed to know how to follow God and to serve him. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. What did they have in these two sources of saving truth? The epitome of what they had in Moses was to be found in the two great commandments, which we hear in the summary of the law in the communion service. The first one was from the sixth chapter of Deuteronomy. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. The second was from the 19th chapter of Leviticus. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Dives had ignored the beggar, Lazarus, who had laid at the gate of his mansion. It seems that he had failed to obey both of these commandments. For what Dives' brothers had in the prophets, we can turn to a stern warning that Jeremiah had addressed on one occasion to the people of Jerusalem. They and their false teachers had concluded that because the temple was located in their city and they worshipped there, God would always protect it, no matter how they lived. But Jeremiah told them, "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, the God of Israel, amend your ways and your doings, and I will cause you to dwell in this place." Their morals must be consistent with the worship, or the temple would suffer the same fate as the center of worship in Shiloh, in the northern kingdom, which had been destroyed by the Assyrians. The prophet Micah provided a summary of the law and the prophets that would have been an adequate guide to Dives' brothers and brought them to Abraham's bosom. Micah asked what a person should have when he came before the Lord. In response to his own question, he listed extravagant gifts, and he even suggested the possibility of offering one's firstborn son. Then, in contrast to all this, he concluded that God hath showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. This very saying is inscribed in each of the courtrooms in the city-county complex. Here is the heart of the religion of Moses and the prophets. It was there for Dives' brothers, and it would have been all they needed. We can paraphrase what Abraham said and apply it to the truth made known in Christ. We have the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, and all that they have given the church. Let us hear them. It is a revelation entirely adequate for salvation. Its inadequacy stressed in one of the ordination vows that every man ordained a deacon, priest, or bishop in the Anglican Catholic Church must make. I do believe the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testament to be the Word of God and to contain all things necessary to salvation. Thus, we don't need to look anywhere else. However, there's a long, dreary list of contemporary groups which say that Christianity is incomplete and that we need to look to them for salvation. The New Age movement is a foremost example. Among its many aspects are the channelers, who claim to be mouthpieces for spirits or beings out there somewhere. A look at what some of them say gives the impression that it's so banal and in comparison to Holy Scripture that it's not worth anybody's attention. The Bible also makes clear that not all the spirits of the world are good, and so they must be tested against the Holy Spirit. Christians have been given their means of grace and health through the sacraments and the Scriptures. The channeler is useless and misleading, and like other features of the New Age, will lead us away from the God whose salvation is complete. The environmental movement has slidden over into the deification of nature and the revival of the worship of a non-existent earth goddess. It centers on the creation and ignores the Creator. Secular humanism, perhaps out of fashion at the moment but still influential, claims that man is the measure of everything and will be all he is destined to be and make society what it should be when he is freed from religious superstitions and moral repressions. The result of this teaching has been a resurgence of the lower nature of human beings and moral degradation that embarrasses even some of the humanists. Various cults are active. They tyrannize and terrorize their members and strip them of their money and other resources instead of proclaiming God's love and forgiveness for sinful people. There's also a moral relativism in the land which hides the message of God's mercy, because it says that nobody has done anything wrong. It's unkind to set standards, and it hurts people's feelings to say they have failed to meet them. There's no hope, no scope for the forgiveness of sins because there's no sin. Things are simply a matter of personal preference. And if some choices don't turn out very well, that's unfortunate. But no one would be made to feel bad about it. All these movements will disappear and betray their adherents. The socialist promise of the new society and human being is collapsing all around the world. And these other movements face the same destiny. But the experience and testimony of Christians is that the way to God, way of God made known in Jesus of Nazareth, is adequate, complete, and enduring. This way of God, which by His mercy we have received, has been handed down to us through 2,000 years of history. It has lasted and will last. The wholeness of life, which it brings, is evidence of its completeness and adequacy. It brings us this because it gives us all the traditional features of the Christian life. The Church, the Scriptures, all of the sacraments, and the threefold ministry of bishops, priests, and deacons. In these, and through these, comes the saving presence of God as made known in Christ and mediated to us by the Holy Ghost. The prayer book embodies the saving tradition and provides services which embrace life from beginning to end, which brings us daily worship, prayer, and spiritual sustenance, and which will reach out to us when we depart this life. And in paradise, we'll be remembered in prayers by those still in the church militant, with whom we will continue to be members of Christ. We can indeed say to the world and to each other, we have the Lord Jesus Christ and the apostles, and all that they have given the church, let us hear them. And now, unto God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed as is most justly due, all might, power, majesty, dominion, and glory, now and forever.
Amen.